Welcome to the Mind Forge, episode 3. I'm Alex Nova. We are here to talk about the mind of the addict. Let's start with, what is an addict? What's an addiction? An addiction is any behavior that you know to be self-destructive, but you do it anyway, over and over again. With this definition, there are many kinds of addiction. And that is an important distinction for this definition. An addiction does not have to be a conscious-altering drug. I think we all know this, but we often push all the other addictions to the wayside. We ignore them. We don't really consider them that bothersome. For example, when my dad went to a rehab facility for his addiction to alcohol, they tried to get him to smoke cigarettes. And their reasoning was that it's not as harmful of an addiction. So their reasoning was, you need to stop drinking. You've got to do something if you're not going to be drinking. You know, it'll be easier if you just move your addiction from alcohol to cigarettes. And this wasn't like it was 30 years ago. This was, 5 years ago. So I think that's just preposterous myself. But there's also, behavioral addictions. People are addicted to emotions. That's a big one. People can be addicted to, working, workaholic. We've all heard that word where you ignore your health, you ignore your family, so that you can continue to work to satisfy a craving to be working. And there can be different reasons for all of these addictions. Self-worth is often a factor. Someone might not view themselves as good enough unless they are working so many hours a week or have such and such dollar in their bank account. The emotional addiction, people can be addicted to that, the attention that they get if they exhibit strong emotions. People can be addicted to laziness. Okay, there's all kinds of addictions. I personally experience multiple addictions off and on throughout my life, and I wouldn't say that I don't know anyone that does not have some kind of addiction that they're either unaware of, ignoring, or working through. And with me, there was different substances that, I had a lot of social anxiety when I was younger, and I would overcome that temporarily with alcohol, cannabis, cocaine, Xanax. Those were my favorite ways to do so. They were pretty easy ways to deal with social anxiety. I've also, at one point, I kind of traded the substance addictions for an adventure addictions, which a lot of people can argue that that's a lot healthier of an addiction. So instead of drinking or smoking or doing other drugs, just about every night of the week, I would go for, 10 plus mile mountain bike rides, or go run 10 miles in the mountains. I worked as a whitewater raft guide for 3 years and as a dog sled musher in Wyoming. And part of the reason that I sought those jobs was this: I had an addiction to prove to myself how tough I was. And I would say it was in some ways self-destructive. It met the criteria for addiction because, by the time I finished my first year whitewater rafting and dog mushing, my legs were so beat up that it was probably three and a half months before I could run again. I would try to run when I got back to my second year rafting, and every time I went faster than a jog, I would get Charlie horses in my legs. At this time, I still was practicing yoga almost daily, but it took several months for my legs to recover from my season of dog sledding. That was a dog sled tour guide job. But anyway, my point is that you have a wide range of addictions, but there are commonalities, especially when it pertains to the mind. Now, an addict, someone, and labels are highly dangerous and risky to use an application to yourself. To say I am is to identify with something. Now, there are lots of programs like Alcohol Anonymous that is in favor of identifying as an addict or an alcoholic. I don't agree with that, because what yoga has taught me is that when you say I am, you are imprinting into your subconscious an identification with that phrase. And that is going to make it pretty hard to quit something if you are repeatedly identifying yourself with that activity. So to risk using the word addict, an addiction typically has a anatomical part, a physiological part, and a mental part. Now, the mental part is the pattern in the subconscious. It has a physiological counterpart that then has an anatomical counterpart. Everything exists in a feedback loop. Let's use the social anxiety example. I walk into a bar. There's a lot of people. I'm instantly preoccupied with the worry that I'm going to say or do something uncool, and that other people will judge me for it and ostracize me, and I will be separate and alone from the crowd. And the tribe wiring, the tribal wiring, that the part of us that needs the group to survive is going to be terrified of being ostracized. So I walk into the bar. There's a lot of people. I'm afraid I'm going to do something uncool. I get anxious. My heart rate increases. My blood pressure increases. My pupils dilate. I'm wired for fight or flight. I am freaking out. It was an environmental trigger, the many people in the bar. That trigger hit the mental, the memory, okay, the life, past life experience of this happening before. It hit that memory, and then it triggered the physiological reaction, the fight or flight response, the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight. Now, if this happens over and over and over again, and I don't do anything to combat this pattern from asserting itself, over time, my anatomy is going to change. My nervous system is going to wire itself for stress sense, for to be more sensitive to stress. It's going to get better, faster at engaging the sympathetic response. And it will likely do so in a stronger response in an attempt to protect me. My brain is going to have changes in gray matter density, the areas of my brain that deal with the stress. The stress response system, they're going to get stronger. Okay. And when this is happening in real time, energy is going to shift around in the brain. When I walk into that bar, energy in my brain is being shifted towards the stress response and away from emotional management and executive decision making. So it can become more difficult to use your free will when your body becomes primed for fight or flight. And in the bar situation, there is the past life experience, the knowledge, the memory that if I go have some alcohol, the social anxiety is going to melt away. And that's the next part of the cycle. That substance, the alcohol, I get to it and it's going, say, anxiety is disappearing, but you keep going for it until you get hammered and you start to damage the liver. You know, I had my dad and my uncle both died from alcoholism. Liver damage from alcohol is a real thing, and it can kill you. The next day, you wake up hungover. Maybe you're late to work. Maybe you have a wife and kids, and you get and alcohol becomes a problem and disrupts the relationship you have with your family. This is not new stuff. Like, we know this. What do you do about it? You've got to break the cycle. And you have to use awareness to break the cycle. You have to practice putting yourself in that position and using the breath to self-regulate your nervous system, to retrain your nervous system to relax rather than to enter fight or flight. Now, your mind doesn't care between a movie or real life. It reacts to both the same way. We know this. It's why we watch movies. A scary movie will get you scared, even though it's fake. Now, for mindset management and addiction, you have to meditate and discover what triggers the addiction. Now, if you have an addiction and you meditate, eventually it is going to enter your mind space. You'll be sitting there, eyes closed, observing your breath, and suddenly your thoughts will be on that addiction. You can also force it by visualizing and recalling memories of this addiction asserting itself. And either way, however you choose to do it, both is recommended. You practice the non-judgmental contemplation. You practice the meditation by observing the thought and the emotions that come with it. You observe your biochemical response in your body. You relax. You spend time simply relaxing the body as deeply as you can, using the breath to facilitate the relaxation, a slow exhale. Now, why is it necessary to meditate if you want to overcome an addiction? Look at boxers. Boxers are going to spar before they have the big fight. You are going to train before the big fight. You're going to do push-ups. You're going to spar. And then you're going to have the big fight. You have to prepare for it. Meditation is training for the real fight. When you walk into that bar and you start to feel the anxiety, you want to set yourself up for success. Okay, when I was a dog musher, my boss would always say, you got to set the dogs up for success. You're not going to put a dog that has no business being a leader up front. You're going to put dogs where they need to be. Same for yourself. You need to meditate, because meditation is going to rewire your brain and your nervous system. It's going to show you your patterns. It's going to show you your triggers. It's going to show you how to overcome them. And for more on all of that, you'll need to stay tuned to future episodes that talk about meditation and the fight or flight response in more detail. But that's the whole point of this podcast. We're going to keep going and keep going on mindset management for the addict. I guess until I think that I've talked enough about it. But to recap this episode of the Mind Forge, an addiction has an anatomical, a physiological, and a mental component, right? There's something in you that you have experienced that imprinted on your subconscious a pattern. And in an effort to protect yourself from this danger that you experienced in the past, your mind is trying to assert a particular reaction. It is trying to react in a habitual way that it believes is doing you a favor. Oh, I'm feeling anxious. I'm afraid of being ostracized for saying something uncool. Drink that alcohol. It's not going to be a problem anymore. Okay? I don't feel like I am worthy enough. So I need to go work twice as much as the next guy and make X amount of dollars, even if I don't really see my kids and I don't see my kids or my wife. So we overcome it through meditation, which is a practice self-awareness, a discovery process that's characterized by non-judgmental contemplation. And we'll dive into a sample meditation in the next episode. Okay, that's it for now. Trying to keep these short and sweet. And if you think that there's more on this topic that you'd like to know about, well, stay tuned to future episodes. If you appreciate this recording, please, you know, support us, follow us, share it with people you think could benefit from it. All right, take care. Peace out.